Slam Knife. That was XTC, right?
It was XTC.
That's what I thought.
Yes.
I've never been a fan of them.
Well, what's your problem?
I don't know. I just don't care. I know they're good and all. I mean, there were those bands that everyone's like, oh, they're such a good band. And I mean, I know they're a good band. And I just never cared.
It's the dog whistle you can't hear.
Yeah, I just never cared.
That's how that's how I feel about.
Their songs weren't fast. They weren't heavy. They weren't loud. They weren't. No one yelled anything.
That's how.
What's the point?
That's how I feel about Sonic Youth. I know they're important, but I don't like them.
Yeah, but they're great.
Oh, yeah, I know. Of course. Always an exception if Dave White likes something. Blah, 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 blah. And you are Dave White, film critic for movies.com.
Then you are Alonzo Duralde, film critic of therap.com and What the Flick and the Turner Classic Movies, Cruise, and Television's A Night at the Movies, Merry Christmas.
Yes.
And I don't even know what else. So many other things. Your tentacles reach into many, many nooks and crannies and caverns and peaks and valleys.
Eddie Pie Hands, dear. Eddie Pie Hands.
I
think that A Night of the Movies, Merry Christmas will be airing at least one more time before December is over. So
yeah.
It
just aired today.
It aired today. But
this morning.
I believe it's on some more. So
before Christmas.
Before Christmas. So if you haven't seen it yet, folks, check it out. Not just for me. In general, it's a really good show.
Turner Classic Movies is when it's on, is what it is on.
Yes.
And you were on a boat.
I was on a boat.
With Ernest Borgnine.
Yes.
And he showed The Poseidon Adventure.
Yep.
It was like my all-time favorite movie.
Most of the reason I went was for you. I was like, if Dave White were here.
Aw, shucks.
Dave White would not be missing a screening.
No, I would not.
Poseidon Adventure.
No way.
So I gotta represent.
Not with my role model.
He's one of my new role models of aging.
Yeah.
Because he's in his 90s.
He's 90.
And he is whip smart and like on
not,
it.
Not
and
slowing down.
No. He is lucid and writing memoirs and talking to everybody. And
he's on a boat.
And he's on a boat.
And he's showing the Poseidon Adventure on a boat at Christmas.
Yes.
I love that.
It was pretty amazing. And it's funny because there was actually, we hit some choppy water during the movie. And so our friend Dave Kittredge.
During the part when the ship turned upside down?
No, just during other parts where things
That's when it should have been.
That would have been the best.
Yeah.
Still, where things were sort of rocking and, you know, whatever. And Dave Kittredge, our friend who went with me on the TCM cruise, said, this is like the most expensive D-box seats ever. that was pretty amazing. The whole cruise was great. I had a really great time and got to do my new lecture clip show. Bob about Christmas movies and sold some books and met lots and lots of people who were lovely folks. It was a boat full of movie nerds. These were my people, you know.
Yeah.
From all over the country, all different ages. It wasn't just like the seniors you would expect on a cruise. There were people in their 30s and their 40s. And
So youngsters.
Yes.
People in their 40s.
Exactly. Yes. The wee things. It was a hoot and really well organized.
Were there any actual children?
There were a few people. I saw a few kids, yeah. Some parents had brought their children, but very, very few of them.
Super bored kids.
I know. Like, I don't even know that they opened, like, all of the kid
Mom,
areas.
Mom, it's Eva Marie Saint.
Mommy, I want to go to the Hitchcock Blondes panel.
Right.
I want to see the Harold
Now, what
Lloyd
happened
movie.
With the little kids? Like, what did the people with the little kids do?
I have no idea. I didn't ask.
They have onboard sitters?
Just
hand your kid off to a stranger on a ship.
They have
you can
like
do that, right?
there were little recreational sort of playgroundy. There was at least one area like that.
Yeah.
That I never saw in use, so I don't know if the kids were using it ever or not. I it was very few. Like I saw, there were like fewer than a dozen kids on this ship.
Yeah.
And it wasn't your usual cruise ship experience where there was like a comedian and there was the, you know, like the Broadway song and dance troupe, you
right.
know. It was literally all just like movies and panels and, you know, presentations. But, you know, I got to meet Eva Marie Saint. I got to meet Harold Lloyd's granddaughter, Suzanne, who's a feisty lady, very smart and very, you know,
Well, it's Turner Classic Movies. You know, they're not going to have just, you know,
any old dope.
They're not going to have any old dope on the boat. They're
she knows
cool
her,
people who know what they're doing.
She knows her stuff. She's a really, really good sort of keeper of his legacy and just really nice. I mean, like, would initiate conversations with me and was very friendly. I liked her very much. I think she's got an event coming up at the at Larry Edmonds Bookshop, the people who did handle the book sales
for me
at that thing at the Arrow. Yeah, because apparently there's like a book, because, you know, Harold Lloyd, in addition to being one of the pioneers of silent comedy, was one of the early champions of 3D photography, 3D still photography.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, has this amazing collection, and apparently, like, they're putting out a book of 3D nudes.
Of Harold Lloyd?
No. Of his from his collection.
Okay.
Including a photo of Marilyn Monroe, apparently.
A 3D naked photo of Marilyn Monroe taken by Harold Lloyd?
I believe so, yeah.
What was that shoot like?
Well, I think this is before she was famous.
Oh, okay. All right.
But yeah, so, you know, it was great. There was a gentleman, Mark Waters, who, I'm blanking on his name, I'm getting it wrong. Forgive me, not that he's listening to this show. There's an artist who lives in our neighborhood, as it turns out.
Yes.
Who is an expert on the Brown Derby. Like, has all this, you know, like, interviewed a lot of people who went there, has like all these recipes and a lot of the caricatures that they sort of famously hung on the wall there.
That's kind of rad.
Yeah, he did a whole presentation that went really well, and there was a little...
It's up to the individual, like, obsessive people to save and exactly. archive all this stuff, because otherwise, everything just gets destroyed.
Yeah, it's like the grandchildren don't know and don't care, and they just throw it out.
Nobody in Los Angeles actually wants to preserve anything except their own falling down face,
this city is almost as bad, if not worse, than Dallas, as far as, like, not caring about anything that is not new and shiny.
Right.
But yeah, no, there was a whole area of the ship where they had like an exhibition up. You could see all these photos of like celebrities eating the Brown Derby and the caricatures and stuff. And what was really cool was that as kind of a surprise thing during his Brown Derby lecture, his PowerPoint presentation, they brought Ben Mankiewicz up to the stage and presented him with replicas of the Herman Mankiewicz caricature and the Joseph Mankiewicz caricature.
Oh, awesome.
Which they had signed.
Whoa.
Yeah, so that was really cool.
Did Ben have any of that kind of stuff already?
No. He, I'm sure some stuff, but not that particular thing. So that was a very cool moment.
That's awesome.
Yeah, and also Ben Mankiewicz, not only a fine TCM host, but a heck of a bingo caller.
Gray and I were talking about that last week.
He can call him some bingo. Really was working, knew how to work the room. And he was nice enough to drop in on my thing and ask impertinent questions during my Q&A. So,
what's a Nubian?
Not that one. So I had a great time. Thank you to all the TCM people who included me. I really appreciate it. And
I'd been there, I would have stood up.
Ruined everything.
What's a Nubian?
You would.
That would have been my question.
And no one in the room would have gotten it. But yeah, no, it was all wonderfully put together and. You know, I'm sure they're going to do it again because apparently this thing sold out in like 3 weeks. Like before they even really started aggressively marketing it, it was just like, whoop, you know, because their audience, you know, love movies will travel, basically.
Yeah.
Because that's who comes to the TCM Festival in L.A. It's not L.A.
Folks
people.
From out of town. Well, local people go
to some, too. But you know, L.A. people are jaded about, it's a pristine 35 print at the Chinese, and there's going to be, you know, and Leslie Caron's there, yawn. But, you know, if you're...
That would not make you or me yawn.
No.
If we were free, we'd be like, let's go.
Sure, but I'm just saying, I think it... But if you're in Kansas and you're a big TCM fan, and you get the prospect of coming to Hollywood, you know, to these vintage theaters to see these movies with these stars, it's like that you will...
I remain appreciative of where I live.
Good.
I have grown to love living here, and I like to take advantage of everything that I can take advantage of. I will behave like a tourist in this city.
Nice.
And I don't care.
Good.
Because I like to do things.
Well, I think not enough people do. But they have found that they don't need LA people. There are people from everywhere else that will come to this stuff, you know. People came from all over the country for this cruise, you know, from Canada.
Including you.
Including me.
But not me.
You could have. You opted not to.
When I found out that Borgnine had presented Poseidon Adventure.
You had regrets?
I had a little bit of regret.
A twinge?
Yeah.
good.
But not enough to make me feel like I should get on a plane and then get on a boat to do it.
What
I got to see it with Stella Stevens that night.
That's true.
So that that was just as nice.
At the USA Film Festival. Yeah. Now, what if the next TCM cruise,
yes.
A, I somehow miraculously get asked back, and
B, goes to Finland? Yes.
Well, actually, I was going to say, what if it leaves out of Long Beach?
To go where?
I don't know. The Mexican Riviera or whatever, wherever boats in Long Beach go.
If it left out of Long Beach, I would consider going with you.
Okay.
Yeah.
What if it left?
It's not the boat that I have a problem
right.
with.
Right. And it's the plane. Plane. What if it left from Seattle and went up to Alaska?
That would still involve a plane.
Alaska and Canada, and it would be all nice and cold.
You might get me on the plane.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Good to know.
But you have to get invited back
yes,
to do
that's the big
your
hurdle.
Thing again yes, or another
or
thing.
Or another thing.
Yeah. So. Hope you shook a lot of hands.
I was on my best behavior. I don't think I totally ruined my reputation among the TCM folk. We'll see.
I forget what we were going to talk about next.
The show last week, perhaps?
Maybe the best ever
where
show
you,
that
where
we've
you,
ever done.
Where you spread more, untruths about me.
What are you talking about?
And I don't know how many times I have to say this, because I never know if someone's listening who has no sense of humor, but I am not a Holocaust denier.
Oh, that.
Yes.
All right. Well, you know, we just talked about how you deny the Holocaust.
Okay. No, not true.
And I think that
falsehood.
I don't really feel like that should be something that you should be so worried
about.
Yeah,
that's not funny.
Come out, Alonzo.
No. I'm not Dr. Death here. I believe that the Holocaust happened. I am convinced that the Holocaust happened. This is all because I don't like Schindler's List, which is a whole other thing.
Which is the same thing
no.
as being Holocaust denier.
No, no. And you and I will be getting into it later this month with two new Spielberg movies.
Yes.
Nothing to do with the Holocaust.
Yes, we will.
But anyway, we'll
two movies that we disagree on.
Yes.
That are both directed by Steven Spielberg.
Yes.
That you're wrong
For
about.
Christmas. That you're wrong about.
One you're mildly wrong about. The other you are egregiously wrong about.
No, you are.
In a way that
you have taken
almost
leave of
makes
your
me
faculties.
Question this relationship.
You have clearly, I don't know what they, what. Spiked beverage you were given at
hey,
your
check it out on TV right now is what's her face from Bewitched?
Agnes Moorehead.
Yeah, she's in an old timey movie. She's in black and white. She doesn't look like whatever her name was.
Andorra.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen a little movie called Citizen Kane?
Oh, that's right. She's in that too.
Yeah.
Forgot about that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've only seen Citizen Kane twice. I saw it once when I was young and I was fell asleep and I was bored. But I was that. I was young, and that's my excuse.
And
for
did
that.
You watch it because they mentioned it in Peanuts?
Yes. And then I watched it again as an adult in the theater on a screen. And it is, of course, like the greatest film of all time. But I understand that now.
Okay.
But I forgot that she was in it.
Yeah, she was one of the Mercury players. She
You're
was
right.
also in. She's gives an extraordinary performance, arguably the greatest performance of her career in The Magnificent Ambersons.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I've never seen Magnificent Ambersons.
Now I'm questioning our relationship. Really, Dave White?
It's one of those that you've always tried to show me that has not been on a screen here in the city at a moment when we could go.
All right. Well,
I know they have screened it here on a screen before.
Because it did just finally come out on DVD for the first
time.
It
does happen.
But only if you bought the Citizen Kane box set from Amazon did you get Magnificent Ambersons.
Specifically from Amazon?
Yeah. I know.
Boo. I don't like
Boo.
That. I don't like that.
But and I got a press copy, so I didn't get mine. Didn't have an Ambersons in it. But
I see.
All right. Well, next time it shows on a big screen,
yeah. It's one of those films that you're always on me about seeing, and I just haven't had a chance to see it on a screen. And I would. I don't like watching movies on TV. I don't like watching them on DVD. I will do it.
Sure.
I do it a lot. But it's not my preferred way to see films. And we live in a place with so much
repertory
that you know, it'll be at the museum, it'll be at New Beverly, it'll be at the Egyptian, it'll be somewhere.
Gotcha.
And that's, you know.
Well, Agnes Moorehead plays a great villain in this movie, Since You Went Away.
Now, this isn't your book. It's, since you went away, is in your Christmas movie
it's a,
book.
It's a C also.
It's a C also.
Because a lot of people said, oh, you got to include Since You Went Away. And I watched it. And this is like a 3-hour movie. And it's not Christmas.
Is it 3 hours long?
Yeah.
Wow.
And it's not.
I didn't know they made 3-hour movies back then.
Oh, sure. Yeah. And it's not Christmas until like the last 5 minutes. It's a, and I was like, okay.
But it's an ending that happens at Christmas, yeah, and it is a significant Christmas ending.
But it still felt like, I don't really.
You got to wait a long time to get to the Christmas part.
Exactly. So what I wound up doing was I did write about a film that has two of the stars of this film, Joseph Cotten and Shirley Temple. Called I'll Be Seeing You.
I'll Be Seeing You, that's right.
Which is set entirely at Christmas.
That's the one you watched at...
When we were in Atlanta.
At Javier and Mary's house. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
And it's also
his
set...
His brother and sister-in-law. That's,
it's also set...
That's who they are.
Yes. Also set during World War II. And a really good movie that not a lot of people have seen. And I hope people go check it out because it's terrific. So, what are we talking about this week?
Chipwrecked.
Which... Alas, I was on an actual chip and didn't get to see, so you'll have to tell us
all. Oh, wait, no. Let's hang on to Chipwrecked.
You want to get to that later?
Yeah, because I have to go get a book to read a chunk of a book.
I see.
Out of.
Kierkegaard?
To really say this, to really get this across once and for all. And I've mentioned it a couple times in other locations. So let's talk about Mission Impossible first.
Mission Impossible. Ghost Protocol.
Which I understand.
The president
has initiated
Ghost Protocol.
Yeah.
This holiday season, when you're at parties or dinner and you're lagging for conversation and there's kind of a lull in the room and somebody needs to say something to keep things going, just say, the president has initiated Ghost Protocol. It's a catch-all sentence that works in any event. It really loans itself to multiple situations and circumstances. It's fun to say. It's fun to hear. It's a delight. You know, it is the new. I've got to get these monkey fighting snakes off this Monday to Friday plane.
Yeah, I agree with you.
So yes, the president has initiated Ghost Protocol. I had a great time at Mission Impossible Ghost Protocol, and I'm not a giant fan of the Mission Impossible series in general.
Me neither.
The first one was
not super into them.
The first one was pretty good, Brian De Palma did it. The second one had its moments, the John Woo. The third one was about J.J. Abrams and was kind of like, okay, we're getting a little...
I always have a reasonably good time when I'm watching them.
Yeah, they're not hateful.
But everything that I just saw.
Yeah. I mean, like... Almost all I ever remember from any of them is Tom Cruise is hanging from
dangling
something.
Off of something. Yeah.
It's a ceiling. It's a mountain cliff side. It's a something. He's hanging off of it. And this time he hangs off of the world's tallest building, the Khalifa Tower in Dubai,
which is 100 and however many
70 something stories. Yeah. I forget. Yeah. Look it up on Wiki. Anyway, so this time they brought in Brad Bird, who is the director of The Incredibles and Ratatouille and The Iron Giant, making his live-action debut. And you know what? Why not hire a cartoon guy to make an action movie? Because they pretty much kind of are cartoons. And they are certainly CG-heavy, and they ignore physics as much as Bugs Bunny ever did. So, it's a match made in heaven, as far as I'm concerned.
This is my favorite one. So far, I had a great time. Yeah. I think it's really well made. I think it's smart. And what I really appreciated is how streamlined it is.
Uh-huh.
They don't dive down a million rabbit holes. They don't...
it's a linear plot.
Go off into all these different directions and then tie them up at the end, which always feels like a way to just slow down the movie. You want things to just keep moving. You want propulsion.
Momentum.
And so... So this is a very sort of, A to B to C to D kind of plot.
Sure.
And even the parts where people say things, we've got to hurry up and get this done before the bad guy gets there. You're sort of like, all right. I mean, that doesn't insult my intelligence too much. It's kind of helpful,
And there's even one super corny line at the end of the movie that they then make fun of having said two scenes later. So that's kind of charming.
Yeah.
The thing that, when I've been recommending this movie of late, the first thing that I keep hearing from people is, ugh, I hate Tom Cruise. I'm going to see it.
Right.
This movie knows that a lot of you hate Tom Cruise.
I think
Cruise.
Tom Cruise knows
Tom Cruise knows that you hate Tom Cruise. Yeah. I think Night and Day was an eye-opening experience for him. So... this movie does not cram the smiling, grinning jackanape Tom Cruise down your throat. He's actually kind of...
It does at the end for 2 minutes.
For 2 minutes, but only at the end. It, for the most part, he's kind of on the brooding side, kind of downbeat, and...
he's all about the action.
Yes, it's all about him doing things.
He's not trying to make you love him.
Committing activities, and it's an ensemble piece. You know, like Simon Pegg gets to be funny and gets to be involved in the plot
in a good way. Yeah. In a way that feels right for him.
Yeah, and Paula Patton and Jeremy Renner is sort of the new guy.
She's like, one of the most beautiful women.
She's stunning.
Alive, like I look at her and I'm just like I don't.
And she has
invent people like
she's
you.
She's already had a Robin Thicke baby, and she still has that crazy slinky body.
Right.
Like, it did not.
Is that her husband, Robin Thicke?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That makes sense. Yeah. Because you don't make that baby-making music and not pull.
Exactly.
The hottest woman alive. Yeah.
Yeah. You know he's got a patter.
She's just stunning to look at. I look at her and I'm like, I'm gay, and you are making me feel things.
My palms are getting sweaty.
You're so pretty, yeah.
But she gets to literally kick some A in the movie.
Yeah, she does. I like that. I am post irritated by Tom Cruise. I went for a long, long time.
Yeah.
Most of his career, in fact. I was early on the bandwagon of disliking him. All the way back
in... Circa Top Gun?
I disliked him all the way back in the 80s and kept disliking him.
Well,
With occasional pit stops.
I loved Risky Business.
Occasional pit stops into, you're not bugging me too much right now.
Like Magnolia. Tropic Thunder.
Tropic Thunder, like Collateral, where he's the super bad guy. Mm-hmm.
Movies where we're not demanding.
Movies where you're not forced to get on board with loving him.
Yeah, his cult of personality.
Not a hero. You know, when he's grinning and smiling and trying to be wistful, when he's trying to be a meaningfully like serious actor.
Oh, like Vanilla Sky.
He makes me want to hit him in the face
with a skillet.
Yeah. I would sooner go and pay some money to participate in a Scientology event than watch one of his movies most of the time. Wow. Like he's that annoying to me. And I say that as someone who tried to go to a Scientology event once, but then got busted. Trying to get in.
You could have gotten in.
I could have gotten in, but they would have
all of your personal information.
They wanted all my personal information. They wanted to swipe my
driver's license.
Oh yeah. Which apparently all have your information embedded into them now.
Yeah.
I didn't know
that's what the magnetic stripe on the back is for.
I didn't know that. But they were like, we're gonna swipe your license. And I'm like, no, you're not. You're not. And my friend Lori was like, what do we do? Should we do it? Let's just do it. And I said, No, we're not gonna because they'll never stop.
Somehow I've gotten on their list now.
I know, I love that.
While I was out of town, I got a piece of mail from them.
They want you to go to a Dianetics
seminar. Yeah. Or...
Please go.
No.
If you cared about my entertainment.
No.
Look, you really wanted to keep me entertained.
You got to hold the e-meter at the LA Book Fair. I don't know what else you could possibly want.
That was great.
That
thing just came unplugged.
All right. Which is a funny story, actually, because you went with a friend of ours, and you both got to do the e-meter.
I get to hold the e-meter cans.
Tell the story.
The Dianetics dudes were at the LA Book Fair, the UCLA Book Fair, and I went with our friend. We'll call him S. His last name begins with an S. And what he does for a living is work with... families in crisis. Well, that's what we'll say.
Fair enough.
And he had just come from a case that was pretty, pretty draining and
upsetting.
And he was all full of, tension and unhappiness and all that stuff. So we see the Dianetics dudes, and they're very happy to see you when you walk past. They want you to come to their table.
Yeah. For a personality test.
I am fascinated by everything about them. And And I don't, you know, I'm not out to make fun of people all the time. I just want to know what the story is. You know, I want to know what it is. But they're so secretive and so cagey about everything that they won't even let you in unless you start giving them money and your driver's license that they can swipe and embed in their computer forever.
Right.
And so naturally, as a person who doesn't want to be, you know, hounded by anyone ever, I don't want people knocking on my door. You know, I don't want people coming to me. I don't want people calling me. That, you know, gives me pause. And my fascination and my curiosity about them as an organization has to stop at a certain level because I just won't give them what they want from me. Mm. But they were there with the e-meter. And I wanted to touch the e-meter. So they let us. Mm-hmm. They let us touch our e-meter. They let us get our whatever they call it, reading or, I don't know, audited. It's not an audit.
No, no, that's a whole other thing.
I held the cans, and I went zoom right into the red, which is bad. Mm-hmm. And they said, oh, you have a lot of upset.
That's the term?
In your life. And I said, nope, I don't. And they're like, well, that's what this meter says. And I says, I'm real happy. I said, there's no problem in my life. Everything's great. I don't know. Your meter's broken because there's nothing wrong with me. I'm thrilled to be here alive on Earth today. I just had a donut.
It's all good.
I'm fixing to go eat some lunch again. We're going to he took me to, what is that? The Beverly Hills Hotel?
Oh.
Is that with the
Polo Lounge?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No. We didn't go to the Polo Lounge. We went to their diner thing that's inside. Have you ever been in there?
No, never.
It's so great. What just happened?
I don't know.
Was there an explosion outside our front door just now?
I don't know what that was.
Maybe a door slammed.
I've never been inside.
They have a breakfast, like a breakfast, like sit at the counter kind of place.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So like it had been a really great day.
A luncheonette.
Yeah. And
So you're bearing the needle, but you're perfectly happy.
I said, oh, I go, this guy's super bummed out right now. Let him do it. So they give the cans to S, who's like, oh, yeah, I'm going to be totally in the red. And it's going to, because I've had a horrible week and I'm still upset about it and blah, blah, blah. And he actually used the word upset, which I think is one of their code words.
Probably, yeah.
Yeah. Like you have upsets, like it's a noun. You have a multiple upsets.
Right.
I think that's what they do.
And they don't mean like.
I like that as
in the sports term.
I'm a big fan of that as a noun, as a quantifiable thing. I have three different upsets going on right now in my life.
You know, if I were a sports person.
One of them is that there's not a cookie in my hand.
If I were a sports person, I'd say, like, oh, and they don't mean like when Villanova beats Penn State. But I don't even know what those words mean. I don't even know if that's a.
Those are universities.
That would constitute an upset.
They have
or not.
Sport teams
right.
that participate in sport events.
Yes.
And one team wins and the other team loses.
But I'm saying I could be using it all wrong. Like maybe Villanova wins all the time. I don't even know.
Yeah.
But you know what I mean. An upset. So.
Yeah.
But anyway, so S picks up the cans.
And the meter is like. The meter basically tells the world that he is the chillest bro on Earth.
He is the reincarnation of L. Ron Hubbard.
There is no problem going on in his soul. Like
Xenu has not infected him with
anything. Nothing going on. Nothing wrong. No upset. Nothing. And meanwhile, he's like...
dying inside.
Saying, it was such a hard week and this kid and the parents and the blah, blah. And I was like, yeah, whatever. The e-meter says no.
So you
don't have any problems. I apparently am a
riddled
a roiling mass of
upset,
terrible inside. But no, it didn't happen.
There's no talking about Tom Cruise without going off on this tangent.
There is no talking about Tom Cruise without going off on this, and that's Tom Cruise's fault. Because think about like Will and Jada Pinkett Smith.
Yeah, they're pretty DL about it.
They are probably Scientologists. I don't know that they are for a fact, but I have heard over and over and over again that they are.
And they have this whole crazy homeschooling thing that's very.
I'm just guessing.
Hubbard approved.
Allegedly, they might probably be
based on some.
I don't care if they are. I don't have a problem with that. I don't think it's the mark of anything. I think it is no less or more ridiculous than any other religion that you could participate in.
Pretty much.
So anybody who is all like, they're a cult and they're terrible and blah, blah, blah. Oh, yeah? Well, so is everything else.
Yes.
You know? So
And what other religions and I'm really gave happy, us, by I the whip way. My hair back and forth, yes, incidentally.
Exactly. Thank if it weren't much. For them, if it weren't for the Jada Pinkett Smiths of the world and the Will Smiths, we would not have I Whip My Hair Back and Forth. Yes. So if they're a Scientologist and they've made a Scientology baby that made that song, I'm pro-Scientology.
More power to
Scientology. More power to Scientology. Furthermore, here's another thing that's great about Scientology. They have the best buildings in the city.
Well, yeah.
They have the best neon sign on Hollywood Boulevard. It's gorgeous. Like, it makes me happy. I am filled with civic pride when I walk down Hollywood Boulevard and I see that Scientology.
And their winter neon wonderland sign, every
their Christmas-themed thing is fantastic.
Winter wonderland.
Whatever it is. The Celebrity Center is great. Yeah. The big giant thing on Sunset across from the hospital is great.
There's a whole... There's
you know
a
they
chunk...
have an antagonistic relationship with that hospital. I don't know what it is, I'm but sure. I guarantee you that they do.
They have... Yeah, it's right by Kaiser. No, they
there's a great brunch place right by the Scientology building.
That's which not... they don't own.
I think they don't own it, but I think of it the way I think of that.
I think
it'd be warm feelings.
I think of that part of part of Los Angeles as the Scientology Vatican.
Yeah.
You know, they own a lot of buildings.
We have a Vatican here in Los Angeles, and it's the Scientology Vatican.
Which is the Vatican we deserve.
That is the
I
most
suppose.
Interesting thing about Tom Cruise to me. His movies don't mean a thing to me most of the time. His religion is what makes me happiest about him. Him and John Travolta.
Yeah.
I am most interested in them as citizens of Scientology.
Mm.
And I wish they weren't such a secretive thing and so cagey about stuff, because I would totally be like a person who would look at this stuff and be fascinated by it if they would allow it.
I'm sure
just observe and not not mess with them. I'm not about trying to mess with them.
You just want to see.
I just want to know.
Things.
I need to know all the details about everything.
Yeah, I'm sure if we lived in Utah, you would feel the same way about the Mormons.
Yes,
you'd want to see their secret enclave.
I want to go in the secret parts of
but
the.
But you
Mormon
know what? I bet if you go on the internet, you know, all the people who used to be in the religion are spilling their guts, and they'll tell
are
you
they?
Everything you want
I've
to
never,
know.
I've never. How come I've never heard?
You don't.
Movies?
You're not paying attention.
I guess
go
not.
To look up. I think there's a thing called like Operation Clambake or something, and it's all like ex Scientologists like spilling all the beans.
What's Clambake?
Apparently, there's the clam refers to I don't know.
Is that a thing?
I think there's some sort of Xenu or weird creature in Scientology lore that they're sort of dismissively referring to as a clam, and so Operation Clambake is like their sort of way to try and take them down.
Now I'm confused. Anyway, where were we going with this? Oh, well,
Ghost Protocol.
Tom Cruise. The president has
initiated
ghost protocol.
See, it's fun to say.
And there's really nothing else to say about this movie other than it's totally fun. Totally fun, totally exciting. The action sequences gave me real sweaty palms.
Yeah.
Like the thing, the hanging from that building, which he does for real.
Yes.
That's him doing that real thing. That makes him insane. Scientology doesn't make him insane. Doing that makes
I'm sure
him insane.
There's like a lot of, there are wires that have been erased and there's like, I'm sure.
I don't care.
There's some safety issues.
I don't care how many wires he's had attached to
him. Here's something that I really want to point out here. I mentioned it briefly in my review, but I want to make special note of it. There's a scene where Tom Cruise is chasing this guy into a sandstorm.
Yeah, that's cool.
Which then becomes a car chase in the sandstorm.
Right.
And there's a part where, like, Tom Cruise is, like, on a freeway or something, and another car flips over and, like, lands nose first, like, 2 feet behind him.
Yes.
And I totally flinched back and in my seat, like, ah! And then I thought, okay, that is how you do a CG effect
that
feels like a real tangible thing with real tangible consequences.
Yes.
And Hugo, for all the things going for it,
Hugo is gorgeous.
But that CG is airless and is
beautiful.
But still, it does not have the impact that stupid falling car in Ghost Protocol has.
There are no falling cars in Hugo.
That's not the point. There's a runaway train that goes to a train station. It doesn't have It doesn't have a fraction of the genuine feeling of impact that stupid car does. And while we're on the topic of movies with lots of CG that feels like it's not tethered to anything.
What?
Sherlock Holmes: A Game of Shadows,
which is also lots of fun.
No,
not as much fun as the first Sherlock Holmes. All right, say your whole thing. I'm not going to interrupt you. because you didn't even like the first one.
I didn't like the first one either.
Go, and then you're going to be quiet, and then I'm going to say.
And I will say, if you liked the first Sherlock Holmes, you'll probably like this one too.
I'm going to eat a French macaron away from the microphone while you
do that.
Talk about how much you hate everything.
If, like me, you did not enjoy the first Sherlock Holmes, the first Guy Ritchie.
From Bottega Louie, by the way. If you live in Los Angeles, you go to Bottega Louie.
They've really good
macarons. Oh, these macarons are so amazing. They are as good as the ones from Paulette.
Wow.
And I like a macaron.
Yeah.
And, oh, these are delicious. All right, talk more.
Okay. If you did like the first Guy Ritchie Sherlock Holmes, then, you know, I suppose you'll like this one too. But if you didn't, like me, this one is just as annoying. It's loud and clanging and chaotic and cacophonous and just generally running around and doing stupid stuff and lots of an insane amount of slow-mo sort of post-Matrix-y kind of fighting. And it just bugged the crap out of me. And I was only entertained when Stephen Fry popped up a few times in the film as Sherlock's brother, Mycroft Holmes. It was like the sudden moment of like, oh, okay, this is actually a Sherlock Holmes movie and not just taking a famous name in a franchise that is now old enough to be in the public domain and tarting it up into some sort of like, you know, James Bond kind of would-be loud, clangy, action-y, you know, extravaganza. And so that's my thing on A Game of Shadows. Have you finished your macaroon?
Yes.
Okay. Now you say your bit.
I'm a big fan of Guy Ritchie. Mm-hmm. I like all of his movies except
Swept Away.
Swept Away.
I was going to say, let's be clear on that.
Yeah. And this, I will. I'm going to give you a little bit.
Thank you.
This is my least. This is the Guy Ritchie movie that I have liked the least.
Okay, not counting Swept Away.
Not counting Swept Away. That's not even part of the equation.
Okay. What about that BMW short film he made where Madonna pees her pants?
Also cool. That was also very cool. I'm a fan of the way his camera moves, that you are not, that whole zoom in, you know, unmake everything and then show you the parts.
What's going on inside the gun?
Yeah.
I'm going to turn the TV off. It's distracting.
I like that. I also like his way of dealing with men in films. He makes, no pun intended on his name, he makes guy movies. And he does so in a way that sort of kicks the knees out from under them as well. Because they're violent and they're you know. I think in my review I said something like, he's a world of handsome thuggery. Because there's all these men who clearly prefer the company of each other. There are very few women in his films. And when they are in his films, they are femme fatales or they are, you know,
set dressing.
Gorgeous women who behave like the guys. Mm. You know, Tandy Newton.
In Rock and Rolla.
And I love that he intentionally tweaks. I don't know why he does this. I think it's just because he's having a laugh. He intentionally tweaks like homoeroticism and the phobic side of that as well. And he does it a lot.
True.
A lot. His men are always fighting. They are. And when they're not fighting, they want to slow dance with each other.
Yeah, they're intimate.
And so I've always found that fascinating about his movies. I've always really dug that about his movies. And I like how he presents it. He gives you this stuff in the package of, here's the heist. And so
now that I
gave you your minute.
I do like the
you
romantic.
You ate your macaron made of air.
You ate all the macaron.
I just ate the last one. All I'm saying is
all the Frusenglade.
You stand back. I'm still doing my thing here.
I was going to agree with you, but...
I don't need your agreement. I got my own agreement in my own mind and it out of my mouth. That's all the authority I need. So, this is neither this nor his first Sherlock Holmes film are like his earlier films. Because this is a franchise that's, you know, it's based on something else. He didn't, you know, create it. But he might as well have created it because he takes his style and grafts it onto the Sherlock Holmes story and gives you a Sherlock Holmes that has nothing, no bearing on, no relation to the man in the books or the man in the earlier films from other people. This is Kung Fu Sherlock Holmes, and I'm happy about that. He's like this dissolute Captain Jack Sparrow kind of character, and... But not...
Which I'm sure is how it was pitched.
Not a cartoon, you know, but...
Practically.
If these movies continue as they are, they might devolve into that. And that will be a problem for me. Because at the moment, I still find these movies amusing and clever and exciting. And unlike Ghost Protocol, this does take you down a lot of rabbit holes. But
yes.
But they are rabbit holes. I'm happy to follow it down. It is not as good as the first one because it feels more mechanical and less idiosyncratic. It feels less like it came from the mind and hands of Guy Ritchie and more like it came from a studio that has a franchise
that they want to prop up. You didn't think the first one felt like that?
No.
Oh, man.
I really loved the first one.
Ugh.
I had a blast.
The first one was a blast. Machine-made piece of entertainment, I felt like.
But it was a machine helmed by a guy who imprinted his personality on it. And I was happy about that. I saw enough of the director that I like in that film. I'm seeing less of him in this movie. So while I still had a very good time, this isn't as good as the first one. And if you hate the first one, you're going to super hate this one.
Yeah.
But if you like the first one, if you really like the first one like I did, you're going to like this one enough, but not...
This was the first movie since Sucker Punch where I had to go to the concession stand. I had to get away from this movie for a few minutes because it was just so...
You were really... No.
It was just...
Sucker Punch was...
It's not as awful as Sucker Punch.
This is fun.
But I'm saying it's a movie that I need... That I required respite. I needed like a moment to step away
from... Oh, Sherlock Holmes, I require respite.
Yes. I like...
What word did you use with Ben the other day that made him laugh?
Fisticuffs. Well, when you're talking about Sherlock Holmes, you're allowed to use that word.
Fisticuffs.
I kind
of... You are right. Stephen Fry's the best thing about it.
Yes, I like Stephen Fry. I liked Jared Harris as Professor Moriarty.
Sure.
I am okay with the Holmes-Watson sort of... I hate the word bromance, but you know...
Then don't use it.
They're sort of like...
Don't use the word bromance. I can't believe you just sullied our podcast with that word.
Anyway...
That's not a word I use ever. And you shouldn't either.
Fine.
It's kind of like the way Martha Stewart doesn't own a microwave. Neither should you.
Fine. I like the Holmes and Watson gay-not-gay relationship. But overall, I just found this movie a big clanging bell that got on my nerves. Nomi Rapace gets...
Miss Rapace looks out of place. She's got, if that's how you pronounce her name, she's got hair jewels and gowns and stuff. And I'm like, you're the girl with a dragon tattoo. She's not
actually dressed like Captain Jack Sparrow in a way.
Kind of, yeah. Yeah, she's, there's nothing for her to do,
no,
really, except be the girl with the dragon
tattoo. And incidentally, her co-star from the Swedish...
In a corset.
Yes.
Yeah.
Her co-star from the Swedish dragon tattoo movies, Michael Lindquist?
Nyqvist.
No, it's not...
Yeah.
You're thinking of Sven Nyqvist, the cinematographer.
No, I'm not. I'm thinking of Michael Lindquist.
Anyway, the guy who plays Blomqvist in the Swedish Millennium Trilogy is the bad guy in Mission Impossible Ghost Protocol.
Michael Nyqvist, Nyqvist.
Oh, okay. All
right. And he was Blomqvist in The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo.
That's what I said. Yeah. But he spells it differently than Sven does.
Right.
Or did.
Yeah.
I think he's no longer with us. Okay, so you ran and fetched your book for Chipwrecked. Go. I got to hear what this is going to be.
We discussed this already on our Caged Men DVD commentary, but not in relation to the subject we're going to discuss it now.
We did not talk about Alvin and the Chipmunks shipwrecked on our Caged Men commentary? Okay.
I have also sort of referenced this before in my review of Happy Feet 2 as it compares to The Lion King. It's all about the nature of children and the possibility of giving them drugs. Ahem. I'm now going to read to you from Joan Didion's Slouching Toward Bethlehem. Here I go. It's a few paragraphs, so just relax.
Okay.
When I finally find Otto, by the way, this is the last three paragraphs of the essay, Slouching Towards Bethlehem. When I finally find Otto, he says, I got something at my place that'll blow your mind. And when we get there, I see a child on the living room floor wearing a reefer coat, reading a comic book. She keeps licking her lips in concentration, and the only off thing about her is that she's wearing white lipstick. 5 years old, Otto says, on acid. The five-year-old's name is Susan, and she tells me she is in high kindergarten. She lives with her mother and some other people, just got over the measles, wants a bicycle for Christmas, and particularly likes Coca-Cola, ice cream, Marty and the Jefferson Airplane, Bob and the Grateful Dead, and the beach. She remembers going to the beach once a long time ago and wishes she had taken a bucket. For a year now, her mother has given her both acid and peyote. Susan describes it as getting stoned. I start to ask if any of the other children in high kindergarten get stoned, but I falter at the key words. She means, do the other kids in your class turn on, get stoned, says the friend of her mother's who brought her to Otto's. Only Sally and Anne, Susan says. What about Leah? Her mother's friend prompts. Leah, Susan says, is not in high kindergarten. Sue Ann's three-year-old Michael started a fire this morning before anyone was up, but Don got it out before much damage was done. Michael burned his arm, though, which is probably why Sue Ann was so jumpy when she happened to see him chewing on an electric cord. You'll fry like rice, she screamed. The only people around were Don and one of Sue Ann's macrobiotic friends and somebody who was on his way to a commune in the Santa Lucias, and they didn't notice Sue Ann screaming at Michael, because they were in the kitchen trying to retrieve some very good Moroccan hash, which had dropped down through a floorboard damaged in the fire.
Okay.
Now we're going to talk about Alvin and the Chipmunks Shipwreck.
Okay, I haven't seen this movie, so I'm dying to know, as I'm sure anyone listening.
As I have said before, I believe that The Lion King is drugs for children.
Uh-huh.
I also now believe Happy Feet 2 to be drugs for children.
Mm-hmm.
And now I want to add another film to the list.
Would that be Alvin and the Chipmunks Shipwrecked?
Not just Alvin and the Chipmunks Shipwrecked, but all Alvin and the Chipmunks films, all three of them, the trilogy.
Mm. The original trilogy.
The original trilogy. As I say in my review, it is wrong to give drugs to your children, but if you would like to give them a little non-toxic trance-like experience for 90 minutes... Here's the movie. Any of them, but this one in particular, because I went to the screening on the Fox lot.
Now, are we differentiating between movies that merely engage children for 90 minutes and keep them from jumping around and making noise to a whole other plane?
Movies that are on a whole other plane of actual hypnotism.
Okay.
Which I believe Lion King and Happy Feet 2 and now this are capable of doing. I've watched children... watch The Lion King, my niece and nephew. I've watched them do this. And their mouths are open, and they don't move, and they don't speak, and they just look at the screen, and they react. They sing along if they know the words eventually, and eventually they do know the words. But it's very much a sort of like, kind of thing.
Because I went to a press screening of the original Toy Story, and
yeah,
what had been a room of loud, yelly, pandemonium kids became dead silent because everybody was completely fixated on the screen.
Right. But that is a content delivery of really great stuff.
Uh-huh.
You're helping your child when you show them the Toy Story movies.
Mm.
Maybe you would say that you're doing that with The Lion King. I think The Lion King is terrible, but... I am I'm anti-Lion King.
It's not my favorite. It's no Beauty and the Beast.
Correct. The Alvin and the Chipmunks movies, like every Chipmunks-related thing ever created before it, isn't good for you. It's like eating candy for breakfast. It won't kill you on one day. You know, don't do it every day.
You can't make a full diet out of it.
Can't make a full diet out of it. But it's a harmless thing for little kids to get sucked up into and be enraptured by. It does them no good in life, unless you think that memorizing, you know...
The lyrics to Bad Romance?
The lyrics to Bad Romance are something that you want your five-year-old to do. But it's this is a movie that I saw it on the Fox lot in a big screening room with a couple hundred little children and their parents. And they went from bouncing and squealing and screaming and running up the aisles and being crazy. And the second it started, they were all just like, like not a sound. No little kids running up and down the aisles to go to the bathroom. There was no audible or visible fidgeting around me. It was as interesting to watch and participate in as the movie itself. It's not a terrible movie. It's not the worst children's film you'll ever see, nor are the first two children. No, nor are the first two Alvin and the Chipmunks movies. They are not the worst kids movie you'll ever see, but they are interesting in that they are a sedative for little kids.
Now, granted, nobody in Hollywood can ever explain.
Joan Didion will never write an essay about you if you take your kid to this. You're not a bad parent. You're not giving your child LSD. But, you know.
You kind of are.
You are in a little metaphor, you know, it's analogous without the harmful effects. Mm. Yeah.
Now, obviously, if anybody in Hollywood could answer questions like this, then nobody would lose money on films. But why do the Chipmunk movies succeed where...
I have reasons.
Marmaduke, say.
I films, have reasons.
Or Yogi Bear.
I have reasons.
Explain.
First of all, they are difficult to understand. Back in the day when we were kids and the Chipmunks were around, mm-hmm. their voices weren't as sped up as they are now. Mm-hmm. They were more easily understood. Mm-hmm. Now, they're digitally, you know, tweaked mm-hmm. in a way that is a little harsh to your ears. And if you're a kid, it's an alien sound. Mm-hmm. You really kind of have to work. Like, it's an exercise in listening comprehension for children. And I think that kids want to know about what these little animals are saying because they love them so much. And I think the reason they love them so much is that they are tiny little creatures that are completely in control. They always get their way. Mm. They do adorable things. They get to have a blast. They get to like surfboard through water tunnels and things. You know,
and they're kids. Essentially,
and they are
right?
children.
And they go to like they're grade
seen,
school.
Yeah, they're
stuff,
seen.
Right?
They're presented as children. You know, Dave is their adopted dad. Mm. They are proxy children, and so like a kid will identify with a chipmunk. Mm. They won't be like, oh, I love the chipmunks because they're cute little animals. They will say to you something like, I love the Chipmunks because I'm like Simon mm-hmm. or I'm like Theodore, you know. And now you've got little girl chipmunks. So it's like both genders
mm-hmm. are covered.
Are covered. These are, you know, substitutes for you as a child.
Right.
And they always get their way. They're famous. They sing. Everybody loves them. They're shown singing for crowds and all ages of people adore them. In the films.
And we are raising generations of people who think that the ultimate thing they can ever do in life
is become famous.
Is become famous and sing on television.
So that's, I believe, why little kids love it so much on many levels. They're not going to articulate those things.
No.
But mostly, I think, because they are children. The chipmunks are children, and little kids get that. And so they're like, oh, that's me. You know, it's like in Velvet Goldmine when Christian Bale is pointing at the TV screen.
Right.
And it was like David Bowie or somebody or Ewan McGregor's character was on TV. And he's like, that's me. That's me. Like, you're weird. But that's, you know, kids will do that. Kids think that's me.
No, I remember, I think it was one of my nephews when he was very, when he was very young, said something to his mother along the lines of like, I wish I could be Earthworm Jim or whatever that show
right.
was called.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah. I am Earthworm Jim.
Yeah. All right. Fair enough. Is that it? Is that all we got this week?
Carnage.
Carnage. Yes. Okay. Folks, this almost never happens.
No, it does happen. It just happens in circumstances
it is very
that are
rare.
Different from this.
It is very rare because Dave and I are disagreeing on a movie that I liked and he didn't.
We disagree on movies when it's... we've discussed this already.
I know,
when
generally it's a movie you like.
When
and
it's
I
something that's incredibly lowbrow that I love and you hate, or something that's almost like conceptual art that I love and you hate.
And again,
we'll talk about this. One of those middle of the road Oscar-y movies.
We'll talk about those Spielberg movies later this month.
Yeah,
but
sure
I'm just saying, generally speaking, though, whatever the reasons, if we disagree on a movie, it's because you like it and I don't. It's
sure.
very rare that I like a movie and you don't. This is one of those movies.
Carnage.
Yes.
Takes place in an apartment, fancy apartment. People are arguing about their kids. The kids are in a fight. These are sophisticated, rich people.
New Yorkers.
Jodie Foster, Kate Winslet, John C. Reilly, Christoph Waltz. John C. Reilly and Jodie Foster are one couple. Kate Winslet and Christoph Waltz are the other couple. They are coming together to be sort of civil and polite and mediate a thing. Their two sons were involved in a playground fight.
The son of Kate Winslet and Christoph Waltz struck the son of John
beat
C.
him
Reilly,
with a stick.
Hit him with a stick
in
and,
the face.
And injured his eye
in the face.
And so the two parents are getting together to try and sort of mediate the whole thing, and it all begins very civilized, and before long...
But you know right from the first second that it's not going to be civilized for more than, 30 seconds.
There's a lot of tension brewing.
And then for the next 80 minutes, they stay in this apartment, and they scream at each other.
Kind of, yeah.
And after 20 minutes, I had a few thoughts. First was, oh no, this movie has 60 more minutes, and they're never going to leave this apartment. The other thing was, I hate all of them. And the other thing I thought was, I want to punch them all in the face.
I don't think you're supposed
to. I want to hit them in the face.
I don't think
stick.
You're supposed to side with anybody. I think they're all awful in their own different way.
They were not awful in a way that entertained me. They were awful in a way that felt like nails on a chalkboard.
Well, okay.
Four people running their fingernails down a chalkboard simultaneously.
It is a comedy, and as such, I think kind of depends on your taste and things. I was entertained from start to finish.
I liked it when Kate Winslet threw up all over Jodie Foster's art books.
Of course you would.
In that moment, I loved Kate Winslet and her projectile barf, but I also felt a little bit like Jodie Foster.
I was going to say, you would not be laughing
if somebody did that to my awesome art books.
Oh, yeah.
I would... hit them in the face with a stick.
Right.
Like the kid did.
I just thought it was...
I've been talking about punching people in the face and hitting them in the face with sticks a lot this episode.
Maybe it's because of Carnage.
But that's what I want to do. I want to hit them in the face with a stick.
I was amused throughout. I thought the performances were really great. I loved...
The performances were screechy.
I don't know. I don't think
and
so.
And shrill.
I don't think so. I thought... I really enjoyed getting to see Jodie Foster, because... she's playing an uptight person, which she does a lot. And even when she's not, she's giving an uptight performance, I think. So it was fun to see her kind of lose it and kind of go a little nuts. And, I really enjoyed watching that. I thought Christoph Waltz was very funny, very kind of dry. I liked Kate Winslet sort of being all snippy with him. I thought John C. Reilly was funny as the guy who you think is going to sort of be the laid back, arbiter of everything. But he winds up being just as... having his own baggage as anybody else does. I can see why it's not for everybody, but I was thoroughly entertained. I would see it again. I liked it a lot.
I couldn't wait to get away from them, from the movie, and the thing is that, I don't need to see a film to let me know that people like this are terrible.
Right.
I can go to Whole Foods and get that same experience.
Is this a horrible person calling us?
No, it's our Tom Ford.
Oh.
We can't take this call right now because I know what this is about.
No, we'll talk to Tom
He's
Ford.
He's mad at us.
We'll talk to him after the show. But we love him, Tom. We love Tom Ford.
Not the Tom Ford.
No, our Tom
Our
Ford.
Tom Ford. Yeah.
So yeah, I really enjoyed Carnage. I had a good time, but you know, it's we did it on What the Flick this week, and it was the same deal. Christy and I found it entertaining. Ben thought all the characters were irritating, couldn't understand why they didn't leave, you know, all that stuff. So
I like the idea of them not being allowed to leave by some sort of like,
well, I think it's
supernatural force, like exterminating angel or something.
For me, I think it is never underestimate like our deep human need to get the last word.
That may have had something to do with why I didn't like it, because I am really good, I believe, at allowing, and I mean not here, not with you, not on this thing,
not on this show.
If I let you have the last word here, that wouldn't be fun to listen to.
Perish forbid.
But in real life, like for example, on Facebook, somebody decides to
raise a ruckus,
to kick it up on Facebook, they get the last word. When someone says something nasty to me on themovies.com comments, and if I happen to be pointed at, if someone happens to point it out to me, or if I happen to accidentally read it, if someone says something horrible to me, I just let them go. I let it go. Because I'm not, why would I want to waste my energy having a war of words with anybody?
Well, what's that old saying?
Why would I need to have the last word when I know I'm right?
What?
Who cares?
What's that old saying? Like, never wrestle a pig in the mud. You get dirty, and the pig likes it.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm not down for having the last word.
But nonetheless, but you know,
except here,
it's interesting to watch characters behave in ways that you necessarily wouldn't.
I wasn't even interested in these characters because, again, I see them in Los Angeles and anywhere you go where people have education and money
and
entitlement issues, you're going to run into these folks. Yes. And they're gross, and you know they're gross. They'll never think they're gross.
But it's kind of fun to see them.
I don't want to have to watch them.
I think they're
I want to watch them get something thrown up on.
I
want their property to be barfed on. Yeah.
There can be entertainment value in seeing people like that pushed to the logical extreme of their horrible behavior, I guess. And that's what I enjoyed about the film.
I didn't feel like they got pushed to a degree that was extreme enough either. They just sort of went round and round and round yelling at each other.
Mm.
I don't think anything was resolved or proven by these folks.
I don't think that was the point, though.
Then why isn't it a 9-hour movie that they just keep doing?
Because I think...
Why do you just not let it go forever?
Because I think in 80 minutes you get the idea of...
I got the idea in 20, like I said.
Well...
And again, could get the idea at Whole Foods.
You're wrong. It's really good. So,
No.
What's your DVD pick this week?
Why Christmas?
Sure, why not?
It's Christmas this week. Also Hanukkah. Hanukkah starts Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
Christmas is Sunday.
Yes.
And I don't know why I went off on that, but for me it's Christmas because I'm not Jewish and I'm going to watch Right Christmas if I have to chop up that DVD player of ours that doesn't want to work properly. We tried to watch it last night.
I know. It's also
and it got all.
It's screening at the Egyptian and the Arrow this week too, right?
Really?
I believe it is
on a screen.
I believe it is.
Really?
In VistaVision.
What nights?
We'll have to look it up.
I want
to
go.
Me too. I'm in.
I love White Christmas.
It's great.
And I don't love it ironically either.
No.
In fact, as we tried to watch it last night, the friend who must not be named. A different friend who must not be named.
Why not?
Started making up Gary Cotty. Starts making up words about child abuse. And alcoholism while Bing Crosby is singing. And here's the thing. I know that Bing Crosby was an alcoholic who beat his children. I know this. I know that Danny Kaye was an alcoholic who was a gay and cheated on whoever with Laurence Olivier. I know this. I know that Rosemary Clooney, also an alcoholic and miserable. I know this. I know that Vera Ellen, sad, 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 skinny little bird like Vera Ellen, an anorexic and miserable. None of those things.
During the 2-hour running time of White Christmas.
Are true. While White Christmas is in front of my eyes, those four people are happy and in love with each other and life and Christmas.
And the songs of Irving Berlin.
And the songs of Irving Berlin. Don't nobody bring me No Bad News while I am watching White Christmas. Christmas.
Yes, okay.
I don't want to hear it. I don't want to know. I want to believe that Vera Ellen is wearing high-necked blouses because she simply likes high-necked blouses and not because her neck looks weird because of anorexia.
Right.
When she courts Danny Kaye, I believe that he is into her. Bing Crosby is as gentle and warm as the way he sings. And I especially don't want to hear anything negative about Rosemary Clooney because she's my mom. In my fantasy life.
I was going to say, let's
in my fantasy life, Rosemary Clooney is my mom. Okay. Not my, and I'm, no offense, real mom. You're not even listening to this. But yeah, I love that movie so much. And who was it at the Christmas party yesterday that said they had just watched it for the very first time? Somebody told me yesterday, hey, I watched White Christmas for the very first time. And I said, isn't it perfect? They were like, yeah, it was all right.
Was wrong like, answer.
Wrong answer, man.
I'll tell you,
the movie's fantastic.
It was not a big one in my repertoire before I met you. I'd seen it once or twice.
Right.
But like, you really made it a thing. Now.
I need to see it every year. Yeah. Even more than It's a Wonderful Life. Even more than Scrooge. And I know that you love Scrooge a lot, yes. The musical version of Christmas Carol.
Which is all your fault.
And that's all my fault. More than A Christmas Story? More than...
Miracle on 34th Street?
More than any of the other... That's my Christmas movie.
All right.
White Christmas is my Christmas movie.
My DVD pick this week is A Charlie Brown Christmas.
I understand why. Explain why.
We watched A Charlie Brown Christmas from TiVo last night because it aired on ABC. ABC aired it in a 30-minute time slot, which immediately
back in the day you could
got
do that.
My dander up because back in the day, yeah, it fit in a 30-minute time slot because network TV had fewer commercials in a half hour. Now, however, they have more. And in years past, what they've done is they have an hour-long block, and they'll show A Charlie Brown Christmas, and then they'll show other...
And it runs long.
Yeah, and it runs to like 33, 34 minutes. And then they fill in the rest of the hour with this sort of newer animated peanut stuff that's Christmas related. It's not bad. The Thanksgiving one that they used to fill up the hour was terrible, but the Christmas one was okay.
Yeah.
This year, though, no. Half hour slot. I was like, okay, how's this going to go? They cut
everything.
They cut Sally's letter to Santa Claus, where she says, I just want my fair share. They cut the part where they catch snowflakes on their tongue,
yep.
And where Linus uses his blanket to knock the can off the wall with the snowball.
Yep.
They cut the part where Schroeder is playing Jingle Bells for Lucy and all the different versions. And
presents for pretty girls.
They cut Shermie complaining about how every year it's the same thing. He gets stuck being a shepherd.
They cut a lot of
things. I'd have to go through the book and figure out what else. But those four things immediately, like, where's that? Where's that? Where's that? So ABC, shame on you.
That's right.
You did the same thing at Thanksgiving, too, by the way. We caught that as well. There was stuff missing from that one. Knock it off, ABC. If you're going to air the Charlie Brown specials...
It is your moral obligation.
...to air them in their entirety. Because there are too many of us who know them by heart.
By heart.
And know when something is missing.
That's right.
So in the meantime, forget ABC, get the DVD, or even pay $7, which is insane, for that for the iPad, iPhone app with the Charlie Brown Christmas.
Shows you the whole thing.
Shows you the whole thing with other little extras.
Watch it on your phone. Rather than watch it truncated.
Yes.
By.
Hacked to bits by hacks.
Yeah.
Bad.
Bad people.
Bad on you, ABC.
Yeah.
No mas.
Oh, man.
Okay.
You whipped out the Spanish.
Yes, I'm that. Man. I'm that angry. So
when you inflame the sensibilities of his people, they begin speaking Spanish.
We thank you so much for listening. We wish you all a very happy holiday. We are going to do a show next week, but we're not going to tape it on Christmas Day. We're going to do it a day or two later because there are so many dang movies opening between now and the end of the year.
Yeah.
It would be remiss
of us.
We'll
do it after Christmas.
But we will get to them.
Like the 26th or 27th.
Yeah, yeah. We'll,
whenever we feel
we'll,
like doing
we'll,
it.
We'll let you know in all the usual ways. You can, of course, if you want to know what those usual ways are,
follow
us on Twitter, LinoleumCast. You can like the Linoleum Knife Podcast page on Facebook. You can follow us on getglue.com. Again, I don't know how to make us not be listed as a TV show, but you know, we're still there, so you can look for us there. And, of course, you can always drop us a line at linoleumcast@gmail.com, our email that Dave White can't seem to remember.
I know it now.
When I'm not in town.
I know it now.
And we want to, you know, spread the love to all of our friends out there in podcast land, including the Popcorn Mafia with Gray Drake, who was kind enough to, excuse me, to fill in for me last week while I was on the boat. Thank you for that, Gray. That was a fun show. And, of course...
I would say it's maybe the best show we've ever done.
You can stop saying that. The Comedy Couch with Dennis Hensley and Tony Tripoli. Blowhard. The podcast. Stop crinkling paper when I'm talking.
It's Christmas.
The podcast. Fat Guys in the Movies. Criterion Cast. Secretly Timid. Glitter in the Garbage. Throwing Shade. All fun shows that you should check out. And I almost forgot. You know what this is?
What?
Our 50th episode.
Is it?
Yes.
Happy anniversary to us.
It's our golden anniversary, right? 50th?
I don't know.
Anyway, yeah. 50 episodes of this ridiculousness. And
speak for yourself.
And we couldn't have done it without...
My words are made... You know what's golden?
Yeah,
all my words.
Y'all, yes, I'm sure. Yeah. Your golden opinions. Could not have done it without our dedicated and wonderful listener base. We thank you for listening. We thank you for all the emails and for following us online and for retweeting us and for buying my book and all that stuff. We look forward to the next 50 and the next 5,000. Who knows? But okay, maybe not 5,000.
Again, speak for yourself.
500, let's say. Anyway, that's...
All right, sure.
That's like 10 years.
Fairly reasonable goal, I guess. I don't know.
Anyway, you guys are all great. Have a great holiday, and we will talk to you again.
Happy Hanukkah, Merry Christmas, and other things.
Yule, whatever it is you're celebrating out there.
Yeah.
Celebrate safely and happily and have a great time, and we will talk to you next time.
Goodbye.